hacked and modified versions of popular apps like Spotify or Minecraft are showing up on Apple's tightly controlled iPhone. Ever since Apple debuted the App Store in 2008, it's tried to persuade consumers that the iPhone is safer and more secure than rival phones running the Android operating system because Apple reviews and controls all of the software that can be put on the iPhone through the App Store. But a Reuters examination has found people can download modified versions of things like Spotify onto those iPhones completely outside of Apple's control.
The leaders of T-Mobile and Sprint are on Capitol Hill today to discuss their planned $26 billion merger. Now, some argue the union will limit competition. Others argue it'll speed the push into super-fast 5G wireless.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's February 14th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Happy Valentine's Day to you, and thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day getting underway. We're going to start it off right before you here on The Opening Bell. It's Thought Leader Thursday. We'll hopefully let you learn something new here and learn something together with you. Doug Myers will be in the seat this morning from Associated Bank. We'll have a conversation about boutique banking and how it might impact you, especially if you're a private client of a bank. That conversation coming up momentarily. A little bit later in the program, you may have heard the report earlier in the week about an extinction facing insects that could cause a catastrophic collapse of nature's ecosystems. We'll talk with one of the lead scientists on this report from Australia coming up at about 5:40 this morning. Very serious and potentially catastrophic story for nature, again, about 5:40. And yes, it's connected to climate change. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. Of course, we'll keep you posted on the latest news, weather, and sports as we move forward through the hour as well. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the opening bell rings this morning after the Dow Jones Industrials posted a second straight day of gains yesterday. Markets got a boost from news that the U.S. trade delegation is holding high-level talks in Beijing. We'll have more on those talks in just a second. On the market board this morning, the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P futures are all up by about 0.25% to 0.33% as we head to the opening bell. In Europe, markets are generally in the green as well. The DAX and CAC in France up anywhere from 0.25% to 0.5%. The FTSE in London also higher by about 0.25%. And in Europe, markets in the red this morning. The Nikkei off just a fraction. The Hang Seng off just about 0.25%, the Shanghai down a fraction as well. And crude oil in the U.S. is at $54.39 a barrel, which is up about 50 cents. A couple of stories before we begin this morning with our thought leader. A couple of breaking developments. First, one from Austria, where Austria has announced it's going to start an investigation of Amazon over unfair trade practices in that country. Not a lot of information on that story just coming in. And China's president is expected to meet with the U.S. Treasury Secretary in Beijing on Friday. The South China Morning Post says Steven Mnuchin and other key members of the trade delegation will sit down with the Chinese president to work on a trade deal before the March 2nd deadline. Word of the high-level negotiation comes a day after President Trump said he would consider delaying tariffs on China if a deal isn't reached soon. A new report says expect more stores to close. The global market research firm CoreSite Research released an outlook for store closures in 2019 yesterday and says there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So far this year, U.S. retailers have already announced more than 2,000 store closings, up 23% compared to last year. Factors influencing the closings include online retail growth, declining sales, and rising interest rates. The report says there could be many more store closings on the way due to companies currently in the bankruptcy process and bankruptcies on the horizon. Thought Leader Thursday here on the opening bell, and we're happy to have with us Doug Myers. Doug is Senior Vice President and the Chicago Private Client Market Leader at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
I want to have a conversation today about some of the trends in private banking this year, some of the things we might expect going forward. And one of those things is boutique private banking. What are we talking about when we say that?
Well, there's a burgeoning growth in boutique investment banks and wealth management firms. For example, Associated Bank now owns Whitnell, which was a family wealth management office out of Oak Brook. And by creating a boutique or buying a boutique, you can focus on your customers that you want to go after. For example, if you want to go after wealthy families, for example, a family office like Whitnell would be the way to do it. Other banks have boutiques under different names that they operate for family offices or for the wealthy. But it doesn't have to be for the wealthy clients. It can be for any segment that you want to attack. A lot of online banks, for example, are differently named than their parent bank, for example. And they do that to create a new brand, to create a new niche. And that's what's going on in the world today in banking.
So it's a selling piece, right? You try to attract new customers and you say, oh, by the way, if you come on board, we have this service, and this service, and we will treat you as a person.
Well, that's correct. And I think it's from a branding standpoint that you might want to have a different brand name. For example, when you market to a different specialized niche, for example, to the consumer base.
Is the boutique banking, is the characteristic, the chief characteristic of this, that it's has fewer clients and you have closer contact with those clients?
That's part of it. I think it's about focus. It's about establishing a niche and then focus exclusively on the niche you're going after.
We've talked about Whitnell before here on the Thought Leader segment. Wayne Janis is one of our other thought leaders and comes in and talks to us routinely.
Right.
A guy like him, he wealth of expertise, and I guess a client would see that when they have a conversation with him, right?
Absolutely. That's the model. And once again, it's about focus. It's about a specific skill set that you want to deliver to your client base, whatever that may be.
You said that this is how Associated has gone forward. They've brought in Whitnell. Any future plans? How will Associated Bank deal with, you know, this boutique trend
well,
in the future?
There are plans, and our continued growth is looking at different firms. For example, we've acquired two insurance firms in the past 2 years, both in out of Wisconsin, Milwaukee specifically. But it's a good way to grow. When you don't want to grow organically, you can grow through a different niche by acquisition. And Whitnell is an acquisition. We're continuing to look at acquisition targets. We just closed on a bank in Wisconsin that had the branches of another bank we bought that filled out our footprint in Wisconsin. And I think we're going to continue to look at opportunities like that.
Let's talk about some of the trends for private banking in 2019. Our artificial intelligence is one that we've had a conversation about before on this program. The idea is that more technologies, more of these futuristic type technologies are going to be available to more consumers.
And that's becoming more and more prevalent in our industry, in the banking industry. We're looking at artificial intelligence for consumer banking. We're looking at it on the wealth side. I just read an article that most of the bigger banks are spending lots of money, and specifically Bank of America, which is one of the top five banks in the country, is spending $3 billion on artificial intelligence. And the fintech industry is very robust. These high-tech companies are figuring out ways to infiltrate the banking business, so to speak, and most of them are becoming fairly successful after the last 5 years of figuring out what they want to do, and they're figuring out their platform and how they're going to operate within a bank.
And we're on with Doug Meyer this morning from Associated Bank. Doug is Senior Vice President and Chicago Private Client Leader with Associated Bank.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
We're back on Thought Leader Thursday. Doug Meyer is here from Associated Bank, continuing our conversation about some of the banking trends of 2019. Doug, before the break, we were talking about how artificial intelligence and some other technologies are helping streamline and make better operations at banks. And artificial intelligence is one of those that can, moving forward, do a lot of things for the banking industry. Does that mean we will see perhaps fewer bank fees, fewer employees at banks because of artificial intelligence?
Yes. Technology always is used to lower fees and to be more productive. And what I see in the industry is artificial intelligence will continue to grow, but at the same time, I think that will shift different tasks or duties away from other employees to do other things. So I think the technology, whether it be artificial intelligence or any other technology that we use, is going to be help us be more efficient. And that, in turn, lowers fees, absolutely.
So the dire warnings from some, this from entrepreneur.com, that up to 300,000 current jobs in asset management could disappear by 2025 in AI. Do you think that's too many?
You know, it's hard to say. I will say that 10 years ago, the prediction of branches going away has not materialized.
Right. So more personalized financial products, maybe something that recommends better investments, a win-win for consumers?
I think behind the human contact and the human intelligence when it comes to investing, artificial intelligence can certainly help, and it can certainly help manage the behind-the-scenes portfolio in wealth management.
The job market is still pretty tight. Employers are doing all kinds of things to attract talent and find people and even steal people away from other companies. How's it going in the banking business?
There's starting to be a shift, and people are starting to move around. You know, it's becoming a robust economy for banks. We're still squeezed by margins a little bit, but I think, you know, looking 10 years after the banking crisis, that banks are now continuing to grow. The merger activity is healthy. Here in Chicago, there's been a couple of recent bank mergers, and that's helped the economy. You know, the bank mergers are all about efficiency, and that could lead to less employees. But at the same time, the banking industry is growing again, and it's good to see the consolidations and the activities around the mergers and acquisitions.
What's the best way to recruit talent? Is it offering more money, or are there a set of things that you can use to steal people away?
I think it's all the above. I think when you look at attracting talent, you have to look at benefits, you have to look at the work-life balance, you have to look at skill sets. And, you know, like I said, the good news is that there seems to be a lot of moving around and shifting, and that's always indicative of a healthy economy.
Do you at all look at the competition globally among banks? Because I know the CNBC article talks about how banks in Europe are struggling to find talent, and they've blamed the U.S. because here in the U.S. banks are paying top dollar.
Well, there's certainly a different philosophy with the UK banks. The banking industry in England has always been very conservative, very staid, and I know that there are 20 new startups trying to capture market share in the consumer bank in the UK. I know there was a gentleman who started a retail bank in the UK a few years ago, and he had started Commerce Bank out of New Jersey, and they were very successful. It later sold to Toronto Dominion Bank. So he took the same model and has incorporated it in Europe and specifically the UK. And from what I understand, they're being very successful. And it's all about customer service. It's all about offering products. And it's being aggressive in the consumer market. So I think that's going to be a big change. And there's also a lot of fintech companies that are starting up in Europe as a result of the kind of the slow, staid banking culture that they've had up to this point.
And it's not just people with financial backgrounds that are being recruited. I know last week we talked on the Thought Leader Conversation that people who have these technical, and our conversation today has been about technology and automation and AI, that people with those backgrounds are highly sought after now by banks.
Absolutely. And as banks continue to use technology, artificial intelligence, a great example, we are looking for the high-tech people, the younger people who are more educated in the technology.
Doug, I know you have your ear to the ground, and I want to close today by, again, using your experience as a thought leader. What are you hearing out there? Are people still happy? Are companies still happy? Are your clients still optimistic?
I think so. I think there's a lot of angst about, we were talking earlier about people filing their tax returns, and I think there's stories coming out of people expecting bigger refunds than they might be getting. So I think there's a little angst about that. I think overall the economy, the general signs are very strong. I think that the trade issue is slowly being settled, and I think that's filtering into the economy. I think the bank's economy is very healthy right now. So we're very optimistic.
There was a report today that more Americans are defaulting on their car loans than ever before. Are there rumblings underneath the surface of people having trouble with money in the U.S., or is that...
I really haven't heard that specific story. We don't really do car loans, so that specific instance I really can't address. But I think overall the businesses are spending capital expenditure monies, and I think from a lending standpoint, we feel very bullish on the economy.
Doug, how can people get a hold of you and have this conversation one-on-one?
They can call me directly at 312-544-4600, and we'd love to have conversations around your financial planning and wealth management needs.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President and Chicago Private Client Market Leader with Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every Thursday, and you can find more about our thought leaders at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page. You can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership for more.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of the opening bell. Britain's prime minister is scrambling to avoid another defeat on her Brexit strategy and opposition from members of her own party who fear she's moving in the wrong direction in efforts to overcome the impasse, blocking a deal. Hardline pro-Brexit lawmakers say a measure to be voted on today rules out the threat of leaving the European Union without an agreement on future relations, undermining Britain's bargaining position. Prime Minister Theresa May has previously ruled out a no-deal Brexit as she attempts to win concessions from the EU after Parliament rejected her deal last month. European Council President Donald Tusk has reiterated his frustration with Britain, tweeting, "No news is not always good news." EU27 still waiting for concrete, realistic proposals from London on how to break the Brexit impasse. In Illinois, the Illinois House could vote on a plan to increase the minimum wage to $15 by $15 or to $15 by 2025. Democrats who control the General Assembly are moving quickly because Governor Pritzker wants to sign the measure into law before he proposes his first annual budget. That's scheduled for February 20th. The proposal would increase the current $8.25 an hour base wage by a dollar on January 1st after a 75-cent jump on July 1st, 2020. It would increase $1 each January 1st until 2025. The House could vote on that as early as today. Well, we had a plan to bring you an interview this morning with a lead researcher from Australia on a new report about the ecosystems of our insects. The latest report out showing that these insects are disappearing at an alarming rate and are hurtling toward extinction. So we'll continue trying for Australia, but it's not looking good this morning. Maybe we can reschedule that at a future point. Mary Sandberg Boyle is here this morning. Mary, you want to help me fill about 7 minutes?
I do. I have a question for you. We got a lot of questions from listeners. You had that expert on, I think it was last week, the woman that wrote the book, and she was talking about the Social Security cap going away, so that way, because we have a problem mm-hmm. with there's not enough Social Security. And I wanted to know if the Social Security cap goes away, and so it comes out all the time. Does that solve the problem just currently, or is that a long-term fix?
It could be a long-term fix. And what she was talking about, Catherine Newman was the sociologist in the book we were talking about. Basically, when you get to a certain amount on your salary, they no longer pull Social Security money
Correct.
Out.
Right.
And so she was saying if we change that and even up that by just a little, that it could extend the life of Social Security for many decades down the road. The higher you go, the longer out it could possibly be extended.
So starting in grade school, I was always told, you're going to get a paycheck and this thing's going to come out, but you're never going to see Social Security because they're going to be out of money by the time you're old enough to take it. That's what they used to tell us. Yeah. So you're saying this could give me a chance. If they're extending it, this could put me in the pool.
Well, it could put you in the pool, but you know what? First of all, the Congress has to do this. And okay. You know how hard it is for Congress to do. And it would also mean adding somewhat of a tax, more of a burden on earners, some high earners. And you know how the blowback has been the last few days about possibly taxing the rich even more.
Yes, they don't want to be taxed. The other question I have for you, you had somebody on this week talking about infrastructure and the bridges, the big problem mm-hmm. we've got here. And one of the bridges that was mentioned was built in 1939. And I don't know enough about our capital bills background to know. I know there hasn't been one in 10 years. Is it because of the budget, the Illinois budget, that there hasn't been a capital bill? Or is that something that used to happen all the time and they just stopped doing them?
It used to happen from time to time. And there used to be money always in our budget to deal with stuff like this. But you remember during the Thompson administration, it was, I think, Build Illinois.
Yeah,
was the name of it.
I do remember that, yeah.
And so they do these big, grand infrastructure projects every once in a while. We haven't had one of those in a while. As a matter of fact, I think maybe George Ryan may have done the last one of those, and it may have even been that Thompson Build Illinois. So we haven't done that in a long time, and the bridge I think she was talking about was the I-80 bridge.
Yeah.
That goes in. That's in Joliet, maybe, right?
And a lot of people use that.
Right,
I think Mary has said that's a. It's like a very heavily traveled.
All of the trucks that cross the United States that use I-80 use that.
That is, it's very concerning, and I think because this week we are watching the Lakeshore Drive. Since we could see the effect, you know, nobody going on it because of that thing, it makes you nervous. It's a countrywide problem though. We have a bridge issue. Do they have to change rules to make them have to deal with bridges?
Well, it takes,
because like we know that you guys said that on Lakeshore Drive further down, there's already been an area that's marked dangerous, but they're waiting until the spring to fix it.
Yeah, and I think there's like 16% of the bridges have like an F rating. And it more than nearly half have some sort of deficiency.
Deficiency, that's the word, yeah.
And the engineers, they rate these things like with letter grades, I think. And so,
that's never a good letter grade.
Not a good letter grade. We have a lot of Ds, a lot of Cs. You don't really, when you think about going over a bridge, you don't really think about a D rating for a bridge, do you?
No, that is, that makes me uncomfortable.
It's going to take the will, you know, and unfortunately, it's going to perhaps take a catastrophe. I hate saying that, but usually when there's something bad that happens, remember that bridge that fell in Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, yeah.
That kind of got everybody's attention and the focus, but this needs to be a national, we need to have a national infrastructure, build the USA infrastructure kind of situation.
That can come from marijuana sales?
Maybe.
Can they use that money?
I don't know. Would you pay higher gas taxes if it meant
not crashing through on the ground from
the bridge?
Yeah.
If they said all that money was going to go for infrastructure?
If that's where it went, yes. I think that's where we get into that, where contracts, who does deals with who and things like that people are skeptical of.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And when you go over the bridge, hold your breath next time.
That's what I do.
Thanks, Mary Sandberg Boyle. Appreciate it. We will, of course, hear more from Mary and all the crew from the Steve Cochran Show coming up at 6 o'clock this morning. And we promise we'll try to get our guests that we couldn't reach out to this morning on again, because this story is a very important story about the number of insects. More than 40% of insect species are declining. A third are endangered, according to this analysis. And if it continues at this rate, we could see extinctions of insects, and that will just move its way up the food chain. Lots of animals, mammals, birds, reptiles eat insects, and of course we eat some of those animals. So very concerning. Again, we'll promise to reschedule that in the future. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a green open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up nearly 102 points. That's nearly a half a percent, nearly a half a percent higher on the NASDAQ, and a third a percent higher, higher by a third on the S&P. So we'll be looking for green at 8:30 Chicago time for the opening bell. Now an update on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at grain trade yesterday at the Chicago Board of Trade, make it four up sessions in a row for the wheat market. However, soybeans did go down slightly because of concern that's always in the market about progress on the China trade talks. Corn was little changed, soybeans eased, but as we said, wheat moved higher. for the fourth straight session. So at the end of the day, the March wheat contract was up just a penny and a half a bushel. March corn was up 0.75 cents a bushel. March soybeans unchanged. May soybeans down 0.25 cents. Not much price volatility there yesterday. Turning to livestock, live cattle futures down for a second straight session. Lower beef prices and seasonally slowing demand for the red meat triggered some profit-taking and technical selling. At the end of the day, February live cattle down 82 cents a hundredweight. March feeder cattle down 77 cents. And the April lean hog contract end of the day down 47 cents a hundredweight. A report from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis yesterday. That covers the seven Midwest and Mid-South states, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. And despite expectations of falling land values over the past few surveys, quality farmland values up 3.4% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier. Ranch land or pasture land increased 6.5% in value. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, February the 14th. Initial jobless claims come today. Also, we'll get a report on the PPI, the Producer Price Index, a retail sales report coming. We'll also get an update on business inventories. The EIA Natural Gas Report is due out. A couple of Fed speakers as well, including Patrick Harker. Talking about monetary policy on the earnings calendar today, Coca-Cola, CBS, and NVIDIA all reporting quarterly earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets as we move forward today on this Thursday, February the 14th. A couple of other stories before we leave you this morning. Levi Strauss is going public for the first time in more than three decades. The iconic blue jean manufacturer filed for an IPO Wednesday, estimating it could raise as much as $100 million on the New York Stock Exchange. The company is looking to offer products as a growth strategy, including shirts, shoes, and women's clothes. Sales of jeans in the U.S. are down overall, but Levi's has largely avoided the downturn. Airbus says the super jumbo jet is coming to an end. The European plane maker confirms it'll stop delivering the A380 in 2021 after its key customer, Emirates Airlines in Dubai, slashed orders for the jet. The A380 is the world's largest airliner, and over 230 of the double-decker planes have already been delivered. Consumer spending is up for Valentine's Day, though fewer Americans are actually planning to celebrate this year. According to the National Retail Federation, Americans plan to spend an average of $161.96 on their loved ones. That's up 13% from last year and easily tops the previous record set in 2016. Total spending is expected to exceed $20 billion, which is an increase of about 6% compared to last year. However, only 51% of Americans say they'll celebrate Valentine's Day this year, down from 55% last year. The number of consumers that celebrate Valentine's Day has trended downward over the past 12 years, while spending has generally been on the rise. Experts say the strong economy this year could help push along that record spending. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.